The Boy Who Was Lost, The Beggar's Greatest Wish, The Unforgiving Servant. These are some of the 12 stories that you'll find in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Archbooks Treasury, Life of Jesus. Learn more about this resource for children, grandchildren, and godchildren ages 5 through 9 at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House and request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Archbooks Treasury, Life of Jesus, 1-800-325-3040.
I believe that it's going to be Father God, Lord Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit that will finally heal this racial divide in our lives, in our city, and in the world.
Religion has always offered a check on state power. That's why totalitarian movements have always hated churches, because they can't control their messages.
What God the Holy Spirit gave on the day of Pentecost is not somebody to be able to say, should have bought a Hyundai, could have bought a Kia. You know, that's not tongues. That's a string of nonsensical syllable salad.
Dying man's consolation is nothing in himself, but everything in Jesus. Jesus has won the victory over death. Jesus forgives sins.
Homeschooling moms listen to Issues Etc. while doing the laundry.
Over the last decade or so, the legal move in law to first decriminalize and then fully legalize the adult use of marijuana has gained momentum. There are states that are set to legalize in the next 2 years. 11 states already have completely legal adult consumption of marijuana. I drive past a marijuana dispensary on my way to work every single day, going in and going out, and the lines are always very, very long, out the door and around the building. Why is that? And is there licit medical application of marijuana? That's how it was first sold more than a decade ago. Remember, medical marijuana, we were told, was in some cases going to be a miracle cure for things, or at least treatment for some conditions. Has that proven to be true? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about the use and legalization of marijuana. Dr. Raymond Bertino, president-elect of the Illinois Society of Addiction Medicine, will be our guest. Then a little bit later, an hour or two of Issues Etc., our series Lutheran Catechesis continues with Pastor Peter Bender of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. We're going to talk about a little section at the end of Luther's Small Catechism called Christian Questions with Their Answers, usually used in conjunction with First Communion, but it may be useful for a lot more than that. We'll find out how in hour two of Issues Etc. Joining us to talk about the use and legalization of marijuana, Dr. Raymond Bertino. He's a Lutheran layman, a retired radiologist, and president-elect of the Illinois Society of Addiction Medicine. Dr. Bertino, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
How do you explain the wave of marijuana legalization that now includes 11 states that will permit completely legal adult consumption?
I think, in essence, the states and the people have gotten snookered. Marijuana has been a controlled substance. It's been controlled at a very high level, at the level of heroin, for example, Schedule 1 for DEA controls. And frankly, that's probably too high of a control for marijuana. What has happened is the pro-marijuana forces have made a lot of use of the fact that it's so controlled, and they say, let's regulate and not put people in jail for it. Well, they're probably correct that people should not be put in jail for simple use of marijuana. And so some changes in the laws were needed, but there are now big companies putting billions of dollars into this, including alcohol companies and including tobacco companies, who are trying to forward this as a capitalist enterprise. I'm not against capitalism, but marijuana is a substance that has what one might call negative externalities, just as tobacco has negative externalities. We all pay when tobacco is used by people. The same thing is true with alcohol. We all pay when alcohol is used by people. All of us will pay by marijuana being used by people, particularly when there are heavy users. A person who uses marijuana real lightly is probably not going to do much harm to themselves or to others. And by lightly, I mean if they use it perhaps once a month. That probably is not going to hurt them to a great degree, and it's probably not going to hurt others to a great degree. But the truth of the matter is, just as with tobacco and with alcohol, a lot of the users are heavy users. The heavy users, there are negative consequences for them, and there are negative consequences for society. The states have bought into the fact that law changes are needed, but they've also bought into the fact this needs to be made a capital enterprise where people, companies, will promote it, and companies that are being formed whose sole goal is to get as many people to use as much marijuana as possible. That is just not in the public interest.
Describe the effects of marijuana.
Well, if marijuana is an intoxicant, a person who uses marijuana, marijuana has two primary chemicals in it, natural chemicals. One is called tetrahydrocannabinol, or THC, and that's the chemical that we mainly think about when we think about marijuana. It's the intoxicant. And the other chemical is CBD, or cannabidiol, or cannabidiol, as some people will pronounce it. And cannabidiol or cannabidiol, CBD, is not nearly as toxic as THC is. It has a much higher safety profile than THC. But most people who use marijuana are using it for the THC because they want to get high. And the THC causes euphoria, that is feeling good. It alters sense of time. It causes difficulty in concentrating and impairs short-term memory. It relaxes a person, with some caveats that I'll go into later, and it causes an increase in appetite. It also causes an increase in blood pressure, a transient increase in blood pressure, and an increase in heart rate, which is important for reasons I'll go into later.
Does marijuana have licit medical applications?
Almost undoubtedly, yes. There are what are called cannabinoid receptors throughout the body. The body is made up of billions of cells, tiny things that construct the body. And these cells, on the outside of them, will have what are called receptors. The receptors are places that will pick up chemicals, chemicals that are made by our body, or drugs that we take. Maybe you take a high blood pressure medication. Well, what is happening when you take that high blood pressure medication? It's being absorbed into your bloodstream, and then it's going and acting on your cells, mainly for most medications, by attaching to receptors. And when the receptor is filled in that cell, the cell actually changes what it's doing, and changes when you're taking a medication that you've been given, it changes what it's doing in a way that improves what it's doing for whatever problem you have. I don't know that I've explained that real well, but these receptors are real important. Well, it turns out that marijuana acts on what are called cannabinoid receptors, and you have these cannabinoid receptors all over the body. You have a ton of them in the brain, and the cannabinoid receptors in the brain, when marijuana, particularly THC, connects to these receptors, they cause changes in the brain, and that's what gives marijuana the effect. And so it makes sense that there may be things you can do with that receptor that'll changes the way your body functions in a positive way in some situations. Now, for marijuana, there's a few situations where we know one can use those receptors and therefore use marijuana for medical applications. Some of those are chronic pain, particularly what's called neuropathic pain. This is the pain that diabetics can get, where they get pain in their extremities because their nerves have degenerated, and marijuana has been shown to have some use there. Nausea and vomiting that are induced by chemotherapy for a person who has cancer, there is evidence that marijuana helps in that case. There are certain types of epilepsy that marijuana, the rare types of epilepsy where marijuana has been proven to help, and there's a drug, Epidiolex, which really is CBD that is FDA approved, that you can buy in the drugstore if you have a prescription, that is used for some types of epilepsy. Muscle spasticity symptoms that occur in MS can be helped by marijuana. There is some evidence that it's good for short-term use for sleep disorders. And there is a question right now where it may be worthwhile for some people who have PTSD. And there's several other uses that are being investigated. But I should say that marijuana, both CBD and marijuana in general, are being sold very much like snake oil was sold in the late 1800s as a cure-all. It is not a cure-all. And do we medically understand marijuana well right now? Well, we understand it much better than we understood it 25 years ago, but our understanding is still very incomplete. And it's very interesting. I think with more research on marijuana, we'll probably find more things that it could be used for. But a lot of the indications that are listed by the states who have legalized, marijuana is not useful for. One that people may have heard of is, hey, marijuana is good to treat glaucoma. Glaucoma is an increased pressure in the eyes, and increased pressure in the eyes can cause blindness over time, so one definitely wants to treat it. And that was something that's gotten a lot of press. Well, is marijuana good for treating glaucoma? Well, no. The answer is it's really not. And the reason it's not, it does lower the blood pressure in the eyes, but you essentially constantly have to take marijuana. You would constantly have to be high to keep your pressure low in your eyes. So marijuana is not considered to be a good drug for glaucoma, and yet it's one of the indications that's given by the states. So the states that have medical marijuana have proved the use of marijuana for many things for which there's either no scientific justification or there's science that actually says no, marijuana is not the right drug to use in these situations. So what our states have done is they have gone way ahead of the science and they've put this into the hands of capitalist companies, and not against capitalism, but in this case, those companies have a strong incentive to get as many people to use as much as possible. And people using marijuana in great quantities in our society is just not in the public interest.
Is there a difference between medical marijuana and recreational marijuana?
No. It's all the same product, but there's a different way you might think about it. If you truly are using marijuana for medicinal purposes, if I had a family member who were thinking of using it for medicinal purposes, I would definitely want to know something about, well, first of all, I'd want to know that it was appropriate. Secondly, I would want to know the amounts of THC and CBD in the product, because the ratio of those two chemicals in the product will determine whether it's useful for the condition that's being treated or not, or whether it's likely to be useful. I'd want them to start out very slowly with the amount that they use. So start out with low amounts and go up slowly over time. I'd want to know that the drugs had high purity. Whereas when somebody is using it recreationally, the person who's using it recreationally is probably mainly looking for just high THC and in order to get the biggest buzz from marijuana. So with medicinal marijuana, even though it's the same product, one may be looking for a better control of the amount of THC and the amount of CBD one is getting. Different marijuana plants will have different ratios of THC. You might have two marijuana plants, and one has a lot of THC and a little bit of CBD, and the next one sort of has a moderate amount of THC and has a bit more CBD. And then you could have a third plant, and it'll even have another different ratio of THC to CBD. So when you're using it medicinally, you want to be much more aware of the amount of THC one is getting and the amount of CBD. Whereas when one's using it to get high, one's just using it to get high.
We're talking about the use and legalization of marijuana on this Tuesday, June the 16th. Dr. Raymond Bertino is our guest. He's a Lutheran layman, retired radiologist, and president-elect of the Illinois Society of Addiction Medicine. What are the long-term effects of marijuana on the body? We'll answer that next. Some of them call it ganja. Don't criticize it. I've written a column for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Closed Communion, Biblical, Historical, Lutheran, and Loving. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Nancy Almodovar writes about her journey from the profound doubt produced by her former Calvinist beliefs to the absolute certainty of Lutheran theology. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our romp through Romans. Unfair? The potter in the clay, submitting to God's righteousness. Message of salvation for all, and faith comes from hearing. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Have you ever wondered if your investments could do more? I mean, a whole lot more? This is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. When you invest with us, you not only earn a competitive interest rate, but your investment goes to strengthen Lutheran Church Missouri Synod church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations through low-cost loans and services. To learn more, visit lcef.org/invest101.
Waiting for the train that goes home, sweet Mary, hoping that the train is on time. Sitting downtown in a railway station, one toe over the line.
We're talking about the use and legalization of marijuana. Dr. Raymond Bertino is our guest, president-elect of the Illinois Society of Addiction Medicine. Dr. Bertino, what long-term effects does marijuana have on the body?
Several. One is cognition. It is clear that marijuana affects how a person thinks if a person's using it regularly. About 80% of the marijuana that is used in this country is used by people who are either using daily or near daily. Near daily is defined as being more than 20 times a month. So most marijuana that's used in the country is used by heavy users. Those heavy users are decreasing their mental capabilities during the time that they are using. It appears that if a person, let's say I used marijuana every day for a year, well, at the end of that year, my mentation would not be the same as when I started that year. Now, it appears that if I then went off of marijuana for several months, my mentation would slowly return to normal. But what you have to realize is that if you have people out there who are smoking marijuana daily, and there are lots of them in the United States, there's a few million in the United States who do that, those people are not functioning with their complete full deck. I'm not saying they're horrible in terms of their mentation, but still, they're not functioning with a complete full deck. The second thing you have to realize is that there's been a lot more emergency room visits in Colorado since the legalization of marijuana. Emergency room visits, they've gone up across the board. For kids, emergency room visits are up by a factor of about 10. This is for kids under the age of 10. For adolescents, emergency room visits are up by about a factor of 4. And then for adults, emergency room visits are up by about a factor of 4. For adults in particular, having an emergency room visit because of marijuana is not, you might think, oh, they've just gotten high and now they go into the emergency room. But that's not really what it is. About, if you look at those patients carefully, what you'll find out is about a third of those patients who come in the emergency room, they have a problem mainly due to marijuana, get admitted to the hospital. This is at University of Colorado Hospital from an article in March of 2019. and about a third of those patients get admitted. If you took a look at all adults who walked into the University of Colorado emergency room, just with whatever problem, that they had a headache or they had cut themselves or whatever, what percentage of those patients get admitted? Well, it's about 1 out of 6. You could take admission to the hospital as being a marker as to how high acuity the problem was. If the problem was worse, you tend to admit the patient. Well, it turns out in Colorado, 1/6 of those who came into the emergency room for whatever case having to do with marijuana or not were admitted to the hospital. However, if you came in with a marijuana problem, a marijuana-related problem, your chance of being admitted was 1 out of 3. So the average person who came in with a marijuana problem was coming in a higher state of acuity than the average person who came in with any other problem. Now, what are problems that people come into the emergency room with? Well, one is psychiatric. Psychosis, in particular, is the biggest concern with marijuana. Marijuana has a strong connection with psychosis and a strong connection with schizophrenia. Now, what is psychosis? The term that was used in the past was insanity. So if a person was in what used to be called an insane asylum, it was because they had psychosis. Psychosis is a break from reality. What is schizophrenia? Well, schizophrenia is what's called chronic psychosis. A person who uses marijuana one time may get what's called an acute psychosis, meaning that they have a break with reality. They may have hallucinations. They may become extremely paranoid. They do not act normally. Schizophrenia is a person who maybe has an episode like that that lasts for a few days, and then 2 months later has another episode, and then 5 months later has another episode. That's what's called chronic psychosis. In other words, repeated episodes of psychosis. Psychosis is a life-changing event. Even having it once is a life-changing event. And the use of marijuana can trigger psychosis. If you give if you have 100 people in the room and give them a very high dose of marijuana, some of them will become psychotic. For that reason, whenever experiments are done with people giving them marijuana, people are always careful to give them low doses because they don't want to trigger psychosis in anybody. Psychosis, a single episode, can be a life-changing event. Another problem with marijuana is what's called the hyperemesis syndrome. Now, this is kind of paradoxical, but it's very, very true. This is being seen in the emergency rooms across the country. If you talk to emergency room docs, they're very aware of this. What is paradoxical is I've already told you that marijuana can be used for nausea and vomiting for somebody who is on chemotherapy. It helps their nausea and vomiting. Well, it turns out if you use marijuana frequently, there's a fair percentage of people who will develop, when I say a fair percentage, it's a minority, but it's more than a few. It's more than a few percent who will develop what's called hyperemesis syndrome. Hyperemesis means, in essence, uncontrolled vomiting. And it's not really known why it occurs. If a person has hyperemesis, they will go into the emergency room because they can't stop vomiting. That actually is a relatively serious event and accounts for a lot of the admissions at University of Colorado Hospital. Just the psychosis accounts for a fair number of admissions. The reason a person has to be admitted who has hyperemesis is they lose fluids. They're vomiting so much, they lose fluids, and they can't drink, they can't keep anything down. And if you have a person in that setting, you have to put an IV in them to give them intravenous fluids and put them in the hospital until the event stops. A lot of times when a person gets hyperemesis who's been on marijuana, they don't believe it. They don't believe that the marijuana is causing the symptoms. And, in fact, there was a 17-year-old boy in the state of Indiana who died in 2018 because he didn't believe it. He kept going back to using marijuana, and finally, one time, he came into the emergency room dehydrated and in cardiac arrest as a result. that you can find in USA Today. If you Google hyperemesis, marijuana, Indiana, death, you should find it. Also, there are two cases in the medical literature of the same thing happening to patients who are in their early 30s in Canada. So hyperemesis syndrome is uncontrollable vomiting. May not sound like a lot to a lay person, but if that person does not get appropriate medical care, that can very quickly become life-threatening because of dehydration and changes in the, what are called the electrolytes, which are salts in the body. Here's another problem that parents should be concerned about. It's been shown that kids, by kids I mean adolescents, who use marijuana regularly, that they do not attain the same level of schooling as kids who do not use marijuana. So this has been found from studies in both New Zealand and Australia, where they were longitudinal studies, where essentially they followed kids as they grew up. And what they found was that the kids who grew up and had used marijuana regularly during adolescence did not end up with the same level of education, did not end up with jobs at the same rate, and ended up on welfare more than kids who did not use marijuana. Now, you might question how well matched were these two groups, the groups who used marijuana and the groups who did not use marijuana. And it turns out they were quite well matched. They matched to make sure that they were able to match kids to say, no, this wasn't due to broken homes. Both of the sets of kids had the same number of broken homes. Both of the sets of the kids had the same incidence of sexual abuse and child abuse. Both of the sets of kids had the same family wealth, and so on. The study was controlled for about 20 different elements, and even controlling for those 20 different elements, it turned out when you looked at marijuana, there still was a very significant difference in the educational attainment of the kids who smoked marijuana. It was lower, the educational attainment, than the kids who did not. And what's more, it had what was called dose effect. Dose effect means that the more marijuana that the kids smoked in adolescence, the more pronounced was the effect. The more marijuana they smoked, the less likely they were to go to college, the less likely they were to complete college. And that should be of a concern to parents everywhere. You do not really want adolescents smoking marijuana. Another thing you need to know is that the human brain undergoes development probably till the early 30s, but the parts of the brain that you're particularly concerned about, the frontal lobes, which are the part of the brain that controls what's called judgment and self-control, executive function, that part of the brain continues to develop until about age 26. Ideally, because marijuana appears to affect the development of the frontal lobes, you really don't want to use a person using marijuana until the age of 26, if they're going to use it all. And it turns out, though, that the people who use marijuana the most, we know who uses marijuana. And by far and away, the people who use marijuana the most are under the age of 26. So the very people you don't want to use marijuana, which are adolescents and young adults, are the very people who use it the most. Now, it also appears that marijuana causes lung problems. We don't really have good evidence of it causing lung cancer. So even though we might think exposure to smoke should cause lung cancer, for whatever reason, it doesn't seem to be as toxic to the lungs as cigarettes concerning lung cancer. But in causing what's called chronic bronchitis and chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD or emphysema, there are studies coming out now that make it appear that smoke from marijuana is very toxic to the lungs, as one might expect. It's probably not good to be inhaling smoke from any burning product.
We're talking about the use and legalization of marijuana. Dr. Raymond Bertino is our guest. He's a Lutheran layman, a retired radiologist, and president-elect of the Illinois Society of Addiction Medicine. For decades, we've been told that you can't get addicted to pot. Is that true?
There are so many issues throughout all levels of government that smart Christians need to view it as a way to care for our neighbor by making good decisions.
Molly Hemingway talking about her joint presentation with her husband, Mark, at the 2020 Virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
The federal government has gotten much more involved in family formation or family destruction, abortion, other issues. And there are so many ways in which it's important for us to think about how we can defend the weak and vulnerable among us by making good decisions.
You can watch journalists Molly and Mark Hemingway making the case for Christian political engagement at this year's virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, July 24th and Saturday, July 25th. The $135 registration fee includes the ability to watch a live stream and a recording. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org.
Our life together as the church after COVID-19 will bring new challenges. For example, we might be tempted to skip the regular gathering of God's people because we're more comfortable streaming it on Facebook instead. May it not be. Join the Reverend Dr. Mark Wood as he explores this theme in his article for the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness titled, Gathering Again, It Will Not Be the Same. Subscribe at cph.org/witness, The Lutheran Witness, Interpreting the Contemporary World from a Lutheran Perspective, cph.org/witness.
St. Jacobi Lutheran Church in Shawnee, Wisconsin has a special guest each and every week. It isn't you, but it is Jesus Christ. He is a guest, and he is also the one who comes to serve you with his preached word and his broken body and shed blood. You are invited to be served by Jesus on Saturday evening at 6:30 and Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Visit www.stjakobi.org for more information.
Solid, serious, substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one's study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu. The U.S. Constitution and civic virtue, woke ideology, the active and passive obedience of Christ, Christian political engagement, and the Trinity. These are some of the topics that you're going to hear addressed at the 2020 Virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, July the 24th and Saturday, July the 25th. Your $135 registration fee includes both live and on-demand viewing. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. We're talking about the use and legalization of marijuana. Dr. Raymond Bertino is our guest. He's president-elect of the Illinois Society of Addiction Medicine. Dr. Bertino, we have been told for decades that it is not possible to become addicted to marijuana. Is it possible?
Yes. Now, the lay public is not aware of that completely. And I would say if you'd asked me the question 40 years ago as a physician, I might have said, well, I'm not sure. The science was not there. But the science is there now. And any physician who treats what are called substance use disorders, so any physician who treats people using heroin, people using methamphetamine, people using cocaine, people using marijuana or alcohol, you ask any physician who treats those issues, and every one of them will give you the same answer. It's now understood medically that marijuana is addictive. All the addictive substances affect an area in the brain that's called the nucleus accumbens. It's about the size of the walnut. Some people call it the pleasure center. The nucleus accumbens, the final common pathway is that all addictions increase dopamine in the nucleus accumbens. And they do it in such a way that it changes over time a person's judgment about whether to use the substance or not. And this is true of alcohol. This is true of cigarette smoking. This is true of cocaine. This is true of heroin. And this is true of marijuana. We know that now through imaging studies and through studies of the brain. This was not known 40 years ago, but now it's well understood. And all the substances are viewed the same in terms of causing addiction. Now, do they all have the same side effects? No. Heroin stops your breathing and can easily kill you. Can marijuana do that? No. No. But can it addict you? Yes. It can. Absolutely. Medically speaking, there's no question about that.
My daily commute takes me past a marijuana dispensary here in Illinois, and there are long lines of customers all day during business hours. Why is marijuana so popular?
Yes. Well, if you looked at that set of customers, you would see the same customers going back again and again. Now, are all of them addicted? No, I wouldn't say that all of them are addicted, but most all of them are heavy users, and a good percentage of those heavy users are going to be addicted. You know, I've already mentioned that 80% of the marijuana used in the country is used by people who are using more than 20 times a month, either daily use or near daily use. And if you said what percentage of the marijuana is used by people who are using more than 10 times a month, which is still heavy use, it's not as heavy, but more than 10 times a month, that's more than just weekend use, it's 98%. And so the vast majority of marijuana that is used in the country is used by people who are using too much. And those people will go back to the stores again and again, and they are limited in the amount they can buy. So they each time they'll go, maybe they'll get a week or 2 weeks amount of marijuana, and they're probably not earning all that much money. Some of them may be, but the average one is not going to be earning that much money. And so they'll buy their supply for the next several days that they can afford, and then they'll go back again. And that makes for long lines at those locations.
If you had the opportunity to speak to the governor of a state that is considering the legalization of marijuana, what would you say to that governor?
I would say that I don't think legalization of marijuana or lack of legalization is really the key here. I think what I would tell the governor is that, look, what we're talking about is an addictive substance, a substance that is not in society's interest to promote. Does the society want to allow it? Well, I would say it's a political issue. But does society want to allow it to be promoted? No. The one substance that society has dealt with in a positive way over the past 50 years is tobacco. You know, when I was born in 1953. I'm now 67 years old. When I was 12, 42% of adults in America, and these are numbers from the CDC, 42% of adults in America smoked. That number is now 14%. Now, how did we get there? Well, we got there from banning advertising of tobacco. That was done in the 70s. Then we banned smoking in the 80s and 90s in a lot of public places. Then there was the Attorney General's agreement in 1998 that got rid of advertising in most magazines. In the 70s, we got rid of advertising on TV and radio. The Attorney General's agreement in 1998 also got rid of Joe Camel. So we have progressively put the screws on tobacco, and we still allow people to smoke. If people want to go out and get their tobacco, they can, but society no longer promotes it. We haven't done that same thing with alcohol, and alcohol is the most damaging substance we have by far now, even more than marijuana or heroin. And the reason is because so many more people use alcohol than other substances. I should mention that I'm a light drinker myself. So I'm not a teetotaler, but alcohol has to be acknowledged as being a very damaging substance. According to the CDC, $250 billion worth of damage per year. That's a ton of damage. That's a lot more damage than is paid for by alcohol taxes. You might say, well, it's taxed a lot. Yeah, it's taxed at about the rate of $20 billion. But the substance is causing more than 10 times that amount of damage to us as a society, to our economy, to people's health. So all of these addictive substances are a problem. We should be treating them all like tobacco. We should be discouraging use. And we should do that with alcohol. We should do that with marijuana. Whether or not society wants to allow use, I guess that's up to society. And I can't say I have a strong opinion about marijuana in that way. But what I do have an opinion about is it's foolish to sell candy marijuana, which is done in every state that's legalized except for Vermont, where they just have grow your own at this point. And they may be moving on to full commercial marijuana. Every state sells candy marijuana. How smart is that? How appealing might that be to the young? How many young people might be trapped by that? By the way, one thing everybody needs to know is that the propensity to become addicted is much more a propensity of a younger person than of an older person, and companies know that. If you haven't started smoking by the age of 26, which is when the brain stops developing, or at least the frontal lobes, the chance of you ever becoming an addicted smoker is close to zero. So addiction to tobacco takes place in the young, in adolescents, in young adults. The same is true of marijuana, and the same is true of all the addictive substances. If we could just keep people away from the addictive substances until they were age 26. And after that said, well, go ahead and use what you want. Now, I'm not going to tell you, some people might not go out and experiment, but the chance of having the people become an addicted user, becoming a user who is just drawn very heavily to using the substance, it would be very, very low. And that's where I'd be telling the governors, we do not want to turn this over to capitalists, companies, and I'm not against capitalism at all, but in terms of selling an addictive product, a product that damages people, this is just not the correct way to approach it. That's what I would tell the governors.
Dr. Raymond Bertino is a Lutheran layman, a retired radiologist, and president-elect of the Illinois Society of Addiction Medicine. We'll post a link to the Illinois Society of Addiction Medicine on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Dr. Bertino, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our series on Lutheran catechesis continues after the break with Pastor Peter Bender, director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. We're going to go through a list of Christian questions with their answers that are at the very end of Luther's Small Catechism. Stay tuned. The boy who was lost, the beggar's greatest wish, the unforgiving servant. These are some of the 12 stories that you'll find in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Archbook's Treasury, Life of Jesus. Learn more about this resource for children, grandchildren, and godchildren ages 5 through 9 at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House and request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Archbook's Treasury, Life of Jesus, 1-800-325-3040.
Essential exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union serves the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod community with car and personal loans, mortgages, credit cards, checking and savings accounts. Lutheran FCU supports LCMS organizations with its Spotlight Ministry program, and Lutheran Federal Credit Union allows you to make purchases with Apple Pay, Google Pay, and Samsung Pay using your digital wallet. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Good for you, good for the church, Lutheran Federal Credit Union, LutheranFCU.org.